Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Greg and Jessica with you. It's Wisconsin's Midday News on WTMJ. While you were out in Kohler enjoying a nice fall weekend and a fantastic food and wine event, I was sitting on the couch with my family, listening to the radio broadcast and watching TV.
Payoff pitch to Ohtani. And a drive to right. It is way back and gone. Shohei Ohtani hits his third home run of the postseason, and the unicorn showed up for game four.
Yeah, that happened in inning number one of game number four. Ohtani would hit two more home runs in that game, two of which have not yet landed. My wife said to me, "Is like that ball's going to land in our front yard in a couple of minutes."
Ah, jeez. Yeah, I'll tell you what, throughout there were a couple people, one of the big nights on Friday, one of the events, there was someone you could go through wine tasting, and this guy was smart. He had his phone out, like a miniature TV, so you could come and check the score. And I was like, "Ooh, I want to check it. And he kind of looked at me, and I looked, and I said, "Okay, maybe I didn't want to check it."
Yeah, it just felt like every run the Dodgers scored felt like 10 runs to what the Brewers were able to do. So sadly, a magical season just comes to an end here, one step short of the World Series. We welcome in Jeff Levering, who had the call throughout the postseason here and throughout the season on WTMJ. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Greg. How are you, buddy? Thanks for reminding me that Ivan Drago doesn't bleed. So that's good. Appreciate that.
Well, I was talking to my wife about this. So she's not watched Shohei Ohtani play baseball before. And she's like, "Wait a minute, the guy who just hit that leadoff home run is also pitching?" It's like, do pitchers always hit? I'm like, well, it's a little different with him. They can if a manager chooses to have them hit, but they just don't unless you're Shohei Ohtani. So the game ends, it finishes up, we're watching highlights again as we're about to go to bed, and I said, "I think that was the single greatest performance on a baseball field I have ever seen." And I was trying not to be hyperbolic or caught in the moment. As someone who has seen so many performances by so many players over the years, was that too far-fetched?
It wasn't, especially in the moment, in a potential clinching situation to take your team to the World Series, to go six innings, not allow a run and strike out 10, plus hit three homers. I would say it is the greatest performance in baseball history for a single game. There have been a couple of other games that have been brought up. Jeff Passan from ESPN brought up a couple of games, one in particular, Milwaukee Brave former player Tony Kleiniger, who threw a complete game shutout and also hit two grand slams in the same game, but it was a regular season game. It didn't have the same meaning as an NLCS game or a World Series game. So for me, it's Shohei Ohtani, and since I saw it with my own two eyes, I'll stick with that. And the fact is, Greg, is that if a league or a sport changes rules for you, that means you're doing something right. The Major League Baseball implemented the rule to allow the DH to stay in and pitch and then hit and vice versa because of Shohei Ohtani. They changed the rules because of this guy.
Jeff, how difficult was it to call that last game at the very end, knowing this was the end? Because I'm somebody, you know, I'm always rooting for the home team and I never give up. I'm always in the stands until the last out. I'm there until, you know, at the basketball games. I don't leave until it's done. So I always have the faith. But, you know, at one point we knew, and we had such high hopes as fans for this season. We were hoping that this would be our season, that we would go to the World Series and we would take it. So how difficult was it for you to call that last game in those last moments?
It was tough. You know, you never want to say goodbye for the last time during the regular season or in the postseason. You never like signing off and saying we'll see you in the spring. But you have to. At the end of the day, the Brewers had the best record in the major leagues during the regular season. They had a phenomenal regular season. They got by the Cubs in the division series. For all intents and purposes, they had a fantastic season. And only one team gets to win the last game of the year, and that's the World Series champion. The Brewers came up short this year, and hopefully next year they can run it back and have a very similar cast of characters and continue to have great success like they've had, winning the division three straight years. But it's not easy saying goodbye. That's your baseball life. You spend 9 months of grinding with these players and coaches and the fans who are tuned into every single word that you say over the course of the year. And it's never easy to to say goodbye to your baseball family for the summer and go into hibernation mode. And then, okay, spring training, here we go. Hi, remember me? So you know, it's tough saying goodbye, and but we know there's going to be a tomorrow. The sun came up the next day, and there's going to be another baseball season on the horizon.
But was this year different because we didn't have Uke this year, and because, you know, we beat the Cubs, and we were moving on, and just everybody felt like this was going to be our year? I know it's hard every season to have it end and to say goodbye, but was it different this year?
It was different. It was different because I was the guy that had to say goodbye last year. I mean, I think last year was more depressing than this year because of the way that it ended, having the lead going into the ninth inning, and then boom, it's over in the span of just a couple of seconds. I would say that was more crushing. Plus, as we've chronicled over the last year, how difficult it was for Uke to show up each and every day and go to work and having that be his last broadcast ever. For sure, I think 2024 was more crushing than the end of this year. But you're right that it felt different this year. It felt like the Brewers had finally got over the hump and they were going to have an opportunity to do something really, really special. And they did do something really special. It just wasn't special enough.
Yeah.
Dodgers also a very special team, by the way.
That's,
I mean,
true.
Every time I watch them play, it's like, holy smokes,
how
are they not a 100-win team? And the Brewers ran into an absolute freight train. So good luck to the Mariners or Blue Jays. You guys did a wonderful job, Jeff. If I can just tell you this, throughout the year, making sure fans remember that Uke was still in your hearts and sharing stories and keeping him a part of your broadcast. I don't know if that was a conscious decision or if it just, you know, part of doing baseball, and you talk about Brewers baseball, is involving Bob Uecker. It seemed all very natural and organic, but that was a common thread throughout your broadcasts this season.
Yeah, I think the right word was struck right there, was organic. I mean, we didn't force anything. We didn't want to make it all about Bob, because then it brings up sad memories, right? You and a lot of fans wish it was Bob, and hey, we get it. You know, he's the voice of summer for 54 seasons with the Brewers. Everybody missed him, and there were still points in the year where we thought he was going to walk through the door and say, hey, let's get rolling, but it wasn't going to happen. But for us to continue to talk about him, and it's not just a one-year deal, we'll continue to tell Uecker stories because they're outstanding, and everybody loves Bob. It's just part of our DNA. So I think it just was something that, whether it was something during the game or something that happened before the game or after a ball game that made you think about him, and we wanted to tell stories, that's what we'll continue to do. He holds a special place in our hearts, and he always will.
Jeff, who took the biggest step forward this season? Something we can kind of hold on to and have hope for next year.
Greg Matzik did, I think, always. I think a lot of people did. I point to Caleb Durbin having a great season as a rookie. He was phenomenal. I mean, what Jacob Mizrowski did in the postseason after, there was a great quote that kind of equated his season to the stock market, where he just shot up, right? And everybody was buying Jacob Mizrowski stock, and it was as high as ever. And then after he got hurt and was on the injured list, he kind of went down and really never found it. And then the playoffs hit, and man, did he skyrocket again. So I think Caleb Durbin on the position player side really took another step forward. And Jacob Mizrowski on the mound did an amazing job. But how about Chad Patrick laying in the weeds and how good he was over the course of the season and helping out that starting rotation all year long, and then in the playoffs only giving up two runs, of Freddie Freeman homer and then the Ohtani homer that ended up in the Matzik yard. He actually saw Chad after the ball game last night, and he goes, I didn't look at it, but what was your call on it? And I said, well, it was Lane's call first and foremost, and secondly, he lost it because he didn't know where it went after it got to its apex. True story. So, you know, Chad Patrick is another guy that I think took a major step forward this year.
Well, the common theme in the names you mentioned, they're all back next year, which is a good sign here for the Brewers. And a lot of names are going to be back, and that's encouraging. It's a young team, a growing team, but a team that should be able to stay together by and large.
No doubt. They only have a couple of free agents. I would think that Reese Hoskins has probably played his last game in a Brewers uniform. They have a decision to make on Jose Quintana. There's that option that's kind of looming out there for Freddie Peralta. I think they'd be crazy not to pick that up for $8 million bucks as your ace and multiple-time All-Star. But there is a decision that has to be made there. But yeah, for a large part, I think the team is going to stay intact for 2026.
Always good stuff. Great to connect with our friend Jeff Levering, Brewers play-by-play. Here on some college football and basketball throughout the winter. He'll be busy, no doubt, but back in Arizona in the middle of February. Jeff, we appreciate it. We'll catch up soon.
Thanks, Jeff.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Yep, all the best to Jeff Levering here during the offseason. Now, here's what it sounded like, by the way.
3-1. And this is a fly ball to right. Hit well. Frelick back and just watching that one. I never even saw it come down. It's all the way out of the ballpark. That got all the way out of here. That went over the awnings in right and all the way out of the ballpark. 469 feet from Shohei Ohtani. It's 4-0 Dodgers.
Yeah, you could have told me that was 640 feet, and I would have believed it. That was the one where my wife said that ball's going to land in our front yard in a couple of minutes.
Wow, that's unbelievable. Yeah, I didn't, because of the events that we were at this weekend, I didn't have a chance to watch in the end, and usually that would be like heartbreaking for me, and I still was holding out hope, but I just, the Dodgers were just so darn good.
Yeah, a lot of steam went out of the Brewers train after that 2-1 loss in game one of that series. Yeah. They could never really recover, and Dodgers are a very, very good team, so nobody would be shocked to see them win a second consecutive World Series.